Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens with, as always, Brad Lominick.
It's good to be here, Ron.
Hey, it's good that you're here. I'm excited, although we're going to have a tough conversation.
Well, I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
I could tell you needed to set me down and have a direct, very upfront, brutal, honest, all of those adjectives that apply. And I'm a little scared right now that we have to have a tough conversation.
So, you know, as people I hope have figured out, we're going to talk about what it means to have a tough conversation. We all, at some point in our leadership, have to have the conversation from one side of that discussion or the other. And we want to talk about what that looks like. I mean, you've had to have those conversations.
Yes, more than I probably wanted to. Partly because most of the time, if you're an ENTJ or a type A or somebody who's somewhat aggressive in your leadership style, then you end up creating tough conversations for yourself to have without even realizing it. And I mean, that's part of self-awareness as a leader, right? Is the recognition that you may be the one causing so many times the conversations that you need to have with people because of the way you lead, compared to somebody's not actually getting things done. There's something happening with their own leadership or with them as an employee. A lot of leaders end up having to have tough conversations because they're the ones creating the culture or the environment that needs to be dealt with. So for me, that was always a big issue. And that was hard when I was a younger leader, was realizing that if I didn't have those kind of conversations, then I was creating a culture that I didn't want to be part of.
So self-inflicted wounds.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Ah.
And it was the constant nicks or scrapes or bruises that I was causing to the team without even realizing it. And again, like I said, over time, I had to be the one that was intentional about, hey, you know what? Can I talk to you for a second? I know yesterday I said something that at the time, I didn't realize it was a big deal, but I know that that was a little offensive, and I'm sorry. And even things like that are tough for all of us, but I had to be the one that was willing to have that compared to waiting on that person to open my door or find me and go, hey, I really need to talk to you about what you said to me yesterday.
Yeah, and too many times they won't do that. They'll just exit the organization.
Right.
Or worse, they'll stay on the payroll and exit the organization.
Yes, exactly.
And we have kind of disenfranchised people. Well, that is interesting because that's not where I thought we were going to go with this. You know, for me, I see a lot of leaders who don't want to have that conversation because they want to be liked.
Yes.
You know, they really need the validation of their team, but you know, that kind of self-inflicted wound idea, I didn't really put much thought into, and you're dead on.
What's your hack on tough conversations? I mean, you've been leading a long time and led a lot of people and been in lots of environments that probably required these kinds of conversations. What have you found to be helpful?
I think for me, it's I have to begin the conversation with the end in mind. I have to remind myself that I like the person, that they've been doing a great job for us, that this short term, so I don't believe in letting a lot of this stuff fester. So these are short term issues. We need to have a conversation to see what's going on. And very few times over, you know, my 30 plus years of leading, have I ever had to have a conversation that somebody just didn't care. They really had something going on. They didn't know how to share it. Either I had said something and disenfranchised them, or they had a personal issue going on. There was something going on that needed to be worked through. But if I went with the belief, and I've done that where, you know, well, this person is screwed up. You know, it's the Vince Lombardi thing. You'll either be fired with enthusiasm or you will be fired with enthusiasm.
Right.
If you begin with that attitude, it's never going to work. But if you begin with the attitude as I like, love, and value this person, now let's sort this through. And if you start with that, you know, it seems to work better, but you got to be clear. You can't leave there. You know, there's this whole theory of, you know, you have to say three nice things for every negative thing. That doesn't work because people walk out the door thinking, I don't know what we had a conversation about, but
right,
he really likes me.
Is that the confrontation sandwich?
Yeah, that's it.
Put the thing that's hard in the middle of two things that are more positive.
Yeah.
more encouraging.
It just doesn't work. So, you know, for me, it's to acknowledge that we're all in this together. We want the same thing. We're committed to the same outcome. Now, here's what I'm seeing. And generally, those conversations come out pretty well.
How do you start the process? Do you have a process in place, or have you had processes in place where conversations that are going to be tougher are already on the schedule? Because I think a lot of leaders struggle with, well, when do I even bring it up?
Yeah. So for my direct reports, so there's 7 people who are direct reports to me. All those people manage their own teams. So I meet with each one of those people twice a month. One of the meetings is about their management team. So what's going on with your team? What resources do you have? Where are you in organizing and leading? So I can give feedback, and that's purely talking about how are we progressing. The other meeting, which is 2 weeks later, is about their leadership personally. So we call it a 440. So it's, you know, what are the big things you're going to get done? The 4 big things you're going to get done over the next 40 days. And then along with there's annual goals are built in. But then it's this kind of mutual accountability. Hey, how are you feeling? What's going on? Hey, here's something I saw. Here's something I heard you say that, you know, I think you perceive it different than I'm perceiving it. Let's talk it through. But that's an intentional time. So it's separate from them managing their own teams. That has to be about their leadership, and I have to build them up, support them. And the other one is about them individually as a team member.
I think one of the things that what you're saying, and I've found true, is when it's consistent, that's when it is more helpful, and actually also when it works better. It's sort of like the leader who you want somebody to be either really grumpy all the time or just really positive all the time. But when you get the grumpy person, and then day 2, you get the positive person, and then day 3, you get the grumpy person, you're not sure which leader you're going to get. And the same is true with having tough conversations. If you have a schedule in place where those things can come out and you're naturally coaching and teaching someone, that's a better model compared to you're just every once in a while showing up and sending the email, hey, I need you in my office right now. And somebody walks in thinking, oh my gosh,
which guy's about to happen? Today?
Yes. And that inconsistency on not just conversation, but the idea that you're speaking into people and you're helping them lead better, that's a hard thing for your team to deal with compared to a consistent model of, I'm going to coach you up. We're going to have regular interaction around things that we need to address. Because again, for me, I thought that the best way to lead was, well, just release people. And then every once in a while, you'll probably need to find something you need to confront them on. Compared to, like you're saying, Ron, the model of, no, we meet regularly. We're consistently talking about things that you need to improve, you need to deal with. And that's way easier to speak into people when you know that's coming compared to just the, well, I got 7 people I got to confront this week on the team about certain things. And that's one of the things about this issue. Tough conversations are not normal. They're not the default for most leaders. The default is to ignore it and just let it lie, or hopefully it'll just work itself out. And as leaders, we have to lean into the idea that we're bringing clarity to things that are unclear. We're bringing focus. We're bringing certainty to things that are uncertain. You know, that's one of Andy Stanley's great quotes, is uncertainty is what gives you a job description as a leader. And the same is true here. You know, the reason you're a leader is because you have to deal with things that are tough.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. And to deal with them authentically, you know, it's the old t-shirt gets sold in every tourist town in America. You know, the beatings will continue till morale improves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of these conversations feel like that. And by having a regular, consistent time, you know, I had a board member the other day ask me, you know, how can you dedicate this much time to that? Because by the time I prepare to sit down with 7 people and have a really good conversation and do that twice a month, you know, we're probably talking 30 hours a month that I dedicate to it. But I said, how can I not do that? I don't have time to not do that. If I don't deal with this now, then the train quickly gets off track. People don't know what direction we're going in. And in a time where we're all hungry for that feedback loop, it really is critically important that people know that their work's appreciated, that they have the support of, you know, their leader. And so it's something I truly enjoy. I don't enjoy those kind of tough conversations, but I'm not losing sleep about them because I know that we have a trust now that we can have those conversations and that they're a regular part of our getting better. Now, that was probably not as effective, you know, to use sports analogies. You know, when I was a player and I was a peer to those I was working with, it didn't work as well.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there just wasn't that kind of respect level and I didn't have the time. Then I became a player coach and it worked a little better. But, you know, now in our organization, I'm really just the coach. Our team are much better at their jobs than I ever was at their jobs. I've done every job in the organization, but they're all better at that than I am. And so what I can bring to it is experience and knowledge. I can bring my own creativity to it, but I can also be that guy who says, hey, let me help you sharpen your saw. Let me help you get better as a leader. And these are the things that I've seen that we need to change. And it makes all the difference in the world to have that clarity of position.
Well, speaking of sports, you know, I'm a big fan of watching these inside sort of the training camp of NFL teams. And one of the things about tough conversations that I've found to be true with GMs or anyone who is in charge of cutting players, and this might be one of the hardest conversations they have to have during training camp.
Because you're killing the dream.
Exactly. And you are the, in many ways, the barrier to both them being on the team as well as it can get personal really quick. And when you watch these guys have the conversation with that player to say, hey, listen, sorry, you're not going to make the team. They are direct. They're to the point. It's short. And it's very non-personal. Now, is that the way we're supposed to lead in business and in life? I don't think all those apply, but most of them do, which is get to the point, don't beat around the bush, be incredibly direct, be personal and human and have empathy, but don't sort of just march around the topic until you finally, after 30 minutes of you hee-hawing, you finally get to the point of the conversation. That's one of the things for a lot of leaders that they struggle with, is they're doing small talk, they're trying to make the person feel good, and the person who you're having the conversation with, whether they're articulating it or not, they're saying, please get to the point. I know we're going somewhere here. And that's the other thing is I found when I'm having a tough conversation or when I need to address something, I'm going to tell them that on the front end of the conversation. Hey, listen, we need to talk about something that's pretty difficult, or we need to talk about something that is going to be maybe hard for you to hear. And as soon as we address it that way, then we're setting it up, we're getting to the point, we're giving them then the real clear action plan on either you have to improve or you're fired or that's not going to happen again. If we, you know, whatever is the next step, you got to be really clear on the next step, because otherwise they're going to walk out and go, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. What are you requiring me to do at this point? Are we just continuing on as normal, or did I just lose my job, or do I have to move from that cube, or do I have to go and apologize to Sally? You know, but be really clear on what you're asking of them and just get to the point really fast.
There's this belief that different organization types have to handle this differently. So, you know, whether it's a faith-based community or not-for-profits or business, government, we've both worked in all of those fields and seen and coached in those fields. Do you think the rules are different on how you handle
that? Good question. Yeah. I think in certain environments, we have to be more sensitive to people's feelings. And some of that's culture. Some of it's context. Some of it's the personality of the person you're talking to be real honest. If you take the same approach to every single person on your team, that's probably not good leadership. So understanding who you're talking to. But I would say the thing we probably have to lean more against in business is actually having more empathy. The thing we have to lean away from in nonprofit or faith environments is having too much empathy. Because the hardest thing to do in many environments that are more faith-based is to actually get to the point. Because we don't want to hurt feelings and we're all supposed to love each other and we're supposed to be getting along. And many times that is like this poison or toxic that exists in the culture and nobody ever deals with anything. So you have all these issues that are festering and forming into gossip cliques and, you know, people looking around going, I just wish somebody would lead me. I wish somebody would be really direct and tell me what I'm doing wrong. So I think it depends on the environment, but I would say in general, again, whatever the conversation is, they want you to get to the point and they want you to be really direct and they want you to be honest and they need to know exactly what you're asking of them. And then let's move on and let's get on down the road. And most of us move away from that. We move towards the neutral. We move towards, well, you know, I would really like for you to try to improve in this area, but I understand, you know, we end up sort of saying the sentence after the sentence that shouldn't be said.
No, I think that's right. You know, and then the risk is the behavior continues and high performers say, you know, I don't want to be part of it. Thanks for being here, Brad. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.